Call this meeting of the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission for
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Moultari?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Chairman Harrison?
Here. Could we all stand and for the flag salute, join me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, it's time for public comment on items that are not on the agenda this morning. So if there's anyone that would like to speak on any item not on the agenda, you have 3 minutes. I do not have any speaker slips. Seeing no one, I'll close public comment and come back to the planning staff for updates.
Good morning, Karen Nall with planning staff. Just looking ahead, it looks like you have your next agenda. The May 10th has been delivered to your desk this morning, so that, thank you, Ramona, for getting that agenda out. The next agenda is the May 24th, and we have a couple winery projects slated on that agenda. Then looking forward to June 14th, we have a housing project in Templeton and a Title 22 flood hazard ordinance cleanup. So that's looking ahead. Is there any questions or any other issues?
I just wanted to point out, I won't be here for the second meeting in June.
Okay.
Just to let you know in terms of quorum and so on.
Does any of the commission have any questions for staff? Seeing none, we will start the hearings.
No, we got the minutes
of consent.
Yes.
Minutes and consent.
Okay, we have the consent calendar, which there are 5 items on the consent calendar. Does any of the planning commission have any comments, want to pull any of the items?
Do you want a motion on the minutes first?
Well, we can do the whole consent calendar.
Okay, whole thing together if you want.
If we can.
I just, I don't want to pull an item, but I do have a question about item number 5. Can I ask that before we vote?
Yes.
Okay, and this is to staff, I guess. Having been out there some weeks ago, it seemed like there was some grading that was going on near or on the site, and I was just wondering what that was. Does anybody know? Well, here can... Maybe Terry can answer this. I see the applicants are also here.
Terry Wallers, planning staff. I'm not aware of there being any grading there, but we can certainly have somebody take a look at it and see if it crosses any thresholds.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Scott Anastasi with Anastasi Development. We hooked up to the sewer.
Okay.
So that's what we did. We have one house on the property, so we had a grade and run a pretty long line, but it's now hooked up to the sewer.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move. We approve the consent calendar and the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. Okay, our first item of business is... Would you like to introduce it, Ramona? I think it's been pulled from the agenda, right?
Item number 6 is a continued hearing to consider a request by Rob Marinai for a conditional use permit, county file number DRC 2014-00131, Supervisorial District 4, Project Manager Brandy Cummings.
Good morning, Brandy Cummings. Your commission heard this project back in February and had some design changes for the applicant, and he needs a little bit more time before we bring it back to your commission. So what we're suggesting is to pull this item, and we'll renotice it once that's ready to go.
So you don't need any action from us or to continue to a date uncertain?
Just to continue it off calendar, please.
Okay.
Do you have any idea when it's coming back?
I'm not sure.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure that there's no one here who came today for this item. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to continue this item, I guess a date uncertain.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Opposed? Our next item of business.
Item number 7 is a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to amend the land use ordinance Title 22 of the County Code to correct typographical errors, internal code references and figures, and to restore language that was inadvertently removed. County file number LRP 2014-00019, all supervisorial districts, project manager Michael Conger.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Michael Conger. I'm the project manager on this item this morning. The item is a cleanup package to Title 22, the Land Use Ordinance, and it's mostly related to two projects that were approved by the Board of Supervisors in 2014, the Land Use and Circulation Element Reorganization and the Stormwater Management Ordinance. So there are 29 minor amendments that we're presenting. And they mainly fall into four categories: restoring missing text that was inadvertently left out of the ordinance, editing reference numbers that are incorrect, like reference numbers to figures, doing some minor text edits, and deleting redundancies and errors. And just to give you a few examples, restoring missing text, there was a section that incorporated the San Luis Bay Estates Master Plan by reference. That is being restored. There were also several source control standards for stormwater requirements that were inadvertently left out, and those are being restored as well. For reference numbers, it's primarily figure numbers or internal section references that are being updated. And this is an example where the text says see figure 22-1, but the actual figure that it's referencing is labeled as figure 10-56. We also have some minor text and figure edits. The above one shows that we're removing language that was incorrect, where it refers to a secondary dwelling. And then the lower image shows a more precise rendition of where the Santa Maria and Napomo valleys are, as they're referenced in a planning area standard. We're also deleting redundancies. For example, the language that appears in this subsection down here also appears above in the preamble, so that's going to get removed. So we took these to the advisory councils, and we got comments from two of the advisory councils. Avila Valley Advisory Council provided a letter stating that they wanted to make sure that we were incorporating the San Luis Bay Estates Master Plan by reference, and that we're using the term development plan because that was the term that was used at the time that was approved. Templeton Area Advisory Group provided a comment about a figure number discrepancy in another section that we had not caught. And so that's being added as Section 5 in the draft. So staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the amendments to Title 22 contained in Attachment 1 of the staff report. We're available for any questions.
I have a question. I'm presuming in looking at these maps, and this hadn't dawned on me prior, the areas we refer to as planning areas like Salinas and Alfamar, Estrella and Shandon, et cetera, they're not mentioned here. So is this a different planning area from your point of view than what we refer to as these other areas?
Those in 2014, when we did the land use and circulation element reconfiguration, they actually reconfigured the planning area boundaries. And so a lot of planning areas were consolidated into the North County planning area, for example.
Because we still get stuff submitted that's, you know, Elpamar, Estrella.
Correct. We retained those areas, those original boundaries, as sub-areas within the North County planning area. So you'll often hear to those areas referred to as North County planning area, Elpamar, Estrella sub-area.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? Comments? We'll get there. Is there... I don't have any speaker slips for this item. Is there anyone from the public that has any comments they'd like to make on this item? Seeing none, I'll close it. Bring it back to the board for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move approval of the amendments that are recommended.
I'll second that motion.
Have a motion and a second. Ramona, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you, guys. Our next item of business, Ramona, would you like to introduce it? Or would you like me to?
Item number 8 is a request by Joe and Evelyn Barton, Gray Wolf Sellers, to allow a modification of their previously approved minor use permit. County file number DRC 2016-00088. Supervisorial District Number 1, Project Manager Holly Phipps.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. Holly Phipps, Planning Staff. Before us today is a request by Joe and Evelyn Barton, also known as Gray Wolf Sellers, to allow a modification of the previously approved minor use permit to allow the following: to use a portion of the existing commercial kitchen and outdoor patio area as an 866 square foot restaurant, which is also called a limited food facility. Modification of ordinance standards limiting a restaurant to 800 square feet to allow 866 square foot restaurant. And modification of ordinance standards limiting a winery to one tasting room to allow a second tasting room for distilled spirits. The applicant is requesting modifications because the land use ordinance limits the size of restaurants located in the ag land use category, and it limits a winery to one tasting room. Therefore, this project is before your commission today because a CUP is required. The proposed project is located at 2174 Highway 46 West, approximately a mile and a half northwest of Templeton. The proposed project is located in the agricultural land use category, and the site is in the Adelaida sub-area of the North County Planning Area. Here we have a look at the aerial as seen from Highway 46 and entrance to their site. Look at the proposed structures on site. We have the pole barn, wine production facility and distillery, single family residence, and the tasting room. Looking at the floor plan of the existing tasting room where the restaurant facility would be located, we have an approximately 1,700 square foot structure, outdoor patio areas. The proposed restaurant would use the kitchen and outdoor patio areas and for a total of 866 square foot for their total size of their restaurant. Here we have a look at the restaurant seating from the north patio. And the restaurant seating outside the deck kitchen window. The distillery that was located in the production facility out back. The distillery is in the located here, and the processing area back here. And they would like to have the tasting room for the distillery, the second tasting room, located here. Staff is requesting a modification of condition 1C. When I looked at their tasting room hours, I didn't talk with Barton to find out that is his winter hours. They like to stay open a little bit later during the summer. So staff is agreeable to have the tasting room open to 7 p.m. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the conditional use permit based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B as modified. Staff is available for questions.
Yes. How is your approval based on ABC coordination, how has that worked between the county and the ABC board?
We have like a symbiotic relationship. When a use permit has authorized a winery and the applicant comes in to get ABC, their ABC license, they then will contact the planning department, make sure that they have their use permit for the winery tasting room. Likewise with the distilleries.
Same thing.
If they have a
winery, basically, is what you're saying.
It's kind of an indirect.
Okay.
Well, I kind of had the same question. Does the ABC have any say on having to separate distilled spirits from the wine?
Yes.
So they do need, you can't do it in a wine tasting room then,
well,
from
I don't
the AC,
know.
ABC standpoint?
Well,
maybe the applicant can answer that question.
Mr. Barton can give you a full detail of that. But like in Villa Cana, when I went to their tasting room, I mean, essentially there was a door between where I could see the tasting room for the winery tasting room and then the tasting room for the distilled spirits, but there was a physical wall separation. And so there's a distinction between the tasting rooms and their pours for distilled spirits. It's a lot different than just pouring several tastings for the wine. But Mr. Barton or Ms. Jones Ms. Jones can give you more detailed information on that.
Mr. Motari?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, ex parte communications. In my site visit last Sunday, I did talk to some staff people who were there who were very gracious and showed me around and answered my questions. My other question, Holly, is more procedural, and I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but I'm a little confused having looked at the ordinance and the standards. If you go, which I'm sure you know, and the allowable use is under restaurants, under ag, it says CUP. And so I guess I would interpret that any restaurant in the ag would need a conditional use permit, and then it refers to the specific standards, which are 3570, which I thought would apply when we would place conditions or make findings for the use permit. So I'm a little confused about process, not so much substance.
What was the 35?
It's 22. Well, if you go to table.
Oh, okay. Okay, 22.3570. That takes you to the restaurant.
That takes you to the restaurant for non-commercial.
That is correct. So it's not just if you have a winery and you want to have a tasting room. You have to have a visitor use serving on site.
Right.
So they have a winery. So when you have a winery located in ag, you have a visitor use.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can request to have a restaurant.
But I guess my question is, if it met the 800 square foot standard, would they still need a use permit?
Yes, they would have to come in for a conditional use permit.
Then how did they get, and so they don't have a restaurant there now? Or I mean, they do, but it's not permitted. We're bringing it into conformance. And they also have the tasting room for the distilled spirits, but that's not in conformance either.
In an interim period, it's in conformance depending on the outcome of this hearing.
Okay.
The distilled spirits is a conformed use. It's just the requesting the second tasting room.
Right, well, which they're already doing. So, at least on Sunday, they offered
But not inside the building, inside the tasting room, or inside located where the distillery was.
We
made them bump it outside.
All right, we'll just leave it at that. Okay. And one last procedural question. Just because it needs a use permit, and we're going to grant, you know, we're going to consider granting a use permit, does that give us leeway to not follow the rules in 22.3570? So we can, even though it says no restaurant should be more than 800 square feet, we can make findings through the use permit that allows us to make it bigger?
Yes, that is in your purview to do that.
Okay. And is that because we find it to be incidentally conforming or substantially conforming, or does the use permit allow us just to, could we say a 2,000 square foot restaurant would be okay?
Well, it's coincidental that you brought that up. We have authorized a large restaurant And it's always on a case-by-case basis, what's appropriate for this particular project, this particular site, and locations. Okay. So those standards can be waived, and it was a big discussion before for Niner. I'm not sure if you are aware, but they have a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so they were authorized they up to 3,400 square feet. And modification, they were limited to tasting room. They were requesting maybe tasting hours to 10. And okay. I think we allowed them to, eight, the commission bumped it back to 8:30.
Okay, well, that's a good precedent.
But they had an existing commercial kitchen where they were doing events, and they were their commercial kitchen was already like 2,000 square feet in size. Mm-hmm. And they were having their events were
I got it.
Based on food preparation and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it just depends.
Okay. Maybe council could help me with
that. Bend, Orth County Council. And there is a section in 2230. It's 2230.10, subsection D, that allows you to modify the standards within that chapter through a conditional use permit.
Okay.
And you're required to make findings, which I think are laid out in your staff report.
And just one last question, having visited the site. There's a patio area underneath the oak tree that's not shown on your exhibit as part of the restaurant or the tasting. And how would we categorize that? Because there's tables and chairs, and when I asked if I had food, if I went out there and sat on a table and ate there, would that be okay? They said, sure. So how do we categorize that space? Again, this is more procedural than substantive, but...
Well, in Niner's case, it was easy to make the distinction because ABC, for their outdoor patio area, had them limit their outdoor patio used to go all the way through with no walls, and they limited them. The ABC limited them with a wall to make sure that this was their area that they serve food at, and for their stuff there.
Well,
because the wine was being outside.
Well, since we have the leeway, would it make sense then for us to, rather than ignore the fact that there's this extra space, should we increase the size of the allowed restaurant to include that uncovered patio, so that it, rather than 866 square feet, it's 1,100 square feet to include that?
Well, let's hear from the applicant, Mr. Barton, okay. and see how it's kind of been operating and see how the guests are being limited to that area, and then see what you think.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, then I'm going to ask the applicant to come forward. We have a request by Jamie Jones and Joe Barton.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. My name is Jamie Jones, and I'm here happily representing the Barton family. And if you'll indulge me, I've got a presentation to give you an overview and hopefully highlight some of the questions, answer the questions that have come up during your discussions. We'll start with some background. You know, who are the Barton family? How did they get to this property? They originally established a winery on the east side of Paso in 1994. They did transfer, looking at opening operations on the west side in 1996, and this was Joe's father, Joe Sr., and they began growing grapes on the property in 1997, and then when Joe Sr. passed away in 1998, Joe Jr. took over the operations at the age of 23, and it's been operating with he and his mom. And then in 2014, Joe and Jenny were married, and that's who's operating the winery facility today. They have three wine brands that they're focusing on, Gray Wolf, Gray, and Barton Reserves. In 2015, the family expanded the operations to include Barton's Kitchen Window, which started out as part of their food and wine pairing program, which a lot of wineries will do food and wine pairing. The food and wine pairing programs don't rise to the level of a restaurant use and don't therefore trigger the conditional use permit. When you want to get a little bit bigger, expand your menu options, that's why we're here today. In 2016, they incorporated Crowbar Distillery onto the property with his partner, Steve Kroner. And I think it's great to note that they were the 25th winery established in Paso Robles. We know we've grown well beyond that, but they've been here for 24 years and were one of the founding wineries. There is quite a bit of land use history on the property. The first original minor use permit was approved in 1996. And then there was an expansion in 2008 for production space. It's really looking at expanding wine production. In 2011, we submitted the application to expand their tasting room and increase their annual case production up to 10,000 cases. In 2016, we submitted a substantial conformance to the planning department to request the incorporation of distilling into the existing winemaking operations. And this substantial conformance was based on the distillation of grape-based products. And we included in that the opportunity to do tasting in the existing tasting room. We came to find out later that that would not work. So in 2017, we submitted a second substantial conformance, and this included two components, and that was to allow the distillation of non-grape-based products that were grown on site or on adjacent properties, and also to allow temporary distilled spirit tasting in an outdoor location, because ABC would not let the commingling of the wine tasting and distilled spirit tasting happen in the existing tasting room because we didn't have proper separation. And giving you an overview of the site, you can see there's about 7 acres of vineyards planted on the property and 3 acres of annual grain down on the lower portion of the site located near Anderson Road. Give you a context of our neighbors. We're, I would call this almost a winery neighborhood, Tooth and Nail Winery to the east, Dark Star Cellars, Midnight Cellars, Sextant Winery, Niner Winery. It's a great great visitor-serving area. So the conditional use permit, and this goes to Mr. Maltari's comments, is we're here because the use itself for the limited food serving facility requires a conditional use permit. So regardless, we would be here today for that specific land use permit. And so what changes from the food and wine pairing program and the limited food serving facility is really, it's a couple things. It allows the menu to become much more expansive, allows bigger plates. You're not limited to just small plates. You're not required to pair the food with wine. So someone could come in and just order whatever they want off the menu and not be required to participate in a food and wine pairing program. And we're proposing to utilize all existing spaces. We would, we were keeping the space limited to the upper deck areas, but we'd be open to looking to expand the seating area to the lower patio, as noted during discussion. And the purpose of this is it allows diversification and on-site marketing, and allows the operator to use it as a means to promote and sell their wine, as well as other local ag products. And speaking to Joe, they do want this to be farm to table. He's got plenty of area to grow some food on site, so being able to incorporate some of the produce that they'll be growing on site as well. And the second part of our conditional use permit is modification to the land use standards. We are requesting to increase the area from 800 square feet to 866 square feet, and then also the modification to allow the second tasting room. And our land use ordinance does allow modifications to these special use standards based on a conditional use permit approval and based on specific findings, and those findings are that the standards is unnecessary or ineffective in this particular case. And so looking back to when these standards and requirements came to be, back probably in the adoption of the winery ordinance in 2001, it was really to look at minimizing the conversion of agricultural land and centralizing visitor activities. So they didn't want two wineries on a site with tasting rooms on opposite ends of the ag parcel, and they didn't want just that the visitor serving uses spread out. They wanted to minimize conversion of ag land. So with that, and whenever we're requesting to increase the limited food serving area, we're keeping it within the existing kitchen, existing deck areas that are already approved under the winery use, so we're not expanding building areas or converting ag land. And then whenever we look at the second tasting room, as I said, the reason we're here is it's an ABC requirement, is that we cannot taste in the existing tasting room. You can see on the picture, it's an open open floor plan, not really a way to create that physical separation. When we were, there, another project we worked on in Templeton, where they were building it from scratch, they were able to design and create that separation, but we didn't have the benefit of that. So we looked at opportunities of where we can locate it within existing building square footage, and the distilling area seemed the natural fit. And I think what Joe has found with his customers coming to the site is they're interested in seeing the still and understanding the distillery process, so it's a great location to have those uses exist. And then we'll end with just an overview for the why, because I think your Planning Commission will be seeing more of these applications, both on the smaller end for our wineries that have been here for a long time, like the Bartons, and then on a larger end, I think one of your next meetings, you'll be seeing a renovation at Robert Hall as we see some of our bigger wineries transition to new owners. With this one, the smaller wineries are needing to adapt to the industry. The industry is changing. It's not just, people don't come out just to taste wine. They want an experience. So the wineries want to provide a variety of options to keep their customers there longer. And the longer the customer's there, the more likely they are to purchase product and join the wine club. Our smaller wineries, these direct-to-consumer connections and purchases really still make or break the business model. So I think you're going to be seeing this more. This is a great example of keeping the business growing. And I'll just show you a couple pictures of the family. Joe's here in the audience representing the family if you have any questions. And with that, we'd request that you adopt staff recommendation with the amendment to the hours of operation condition, and obviously we're willing to allow for the increase in patio area. That the lower patio has been used for tasting room space. We were trying to keep the restaurant use confined and as close as we could to compliance with the 800 square foot requirement of the land use ordinance, but we'd be obviously willing to, we'd appreciate expanding that to the lower deck area. And that concludes my presentation, and we're here for questions.
Question, please.
Go ahead, Don.
This is not a large piece of property, so they're to be commended for as well as it's been laid out. So I'm going to hearken back to Commissioner Moltari's comment that is there an errant 300 or so square feet that's unidentified that should probably be included so that they don't have to come back at some future date, just as a courtesy, if nothing more?
That would be great. That was the lower patio that we're referencing. It's probably 300? Yeah, maybe 300 square feet. It's not a large space.
I mean, there's no more room for gigantic improvements.
The only other room we're going to get is if they do increased production, in another 5 years, is that pole barn might be able to be replaced.
Correct.
in the future. But that's in the future.
Well, anyway, there can be more comment on it, but I wanted to bring it up again.
That'd be great.
Do either of you have a comment?
No questions.
Okay, no questions. Would you like to make a comment, Joe, Mr. Barton?
Really, no. Just here to represent what we're trying to do. I mean, we have obviously a strong history, in Paso Robles, and our size is indicative to our property. It's obviously in a winery area, and when we first started out, we were one of the first ones to come in there, if not the first to come in that little corridor. That area has expanded around me, and that has become a really the hub of what's going on in the wine tasting world in Paso Robles, especially. And more than anything, I think we're like Jamie said, it's and I was speaking with Don about this earlier, is that the breadth of wine tasting and the breadth of the wine business has changed dramatically in the last 25 years, and small producers like us are really trying to find the viability and the ability to use what we've invested in and try to continue to find uses that are going to be indicative to direct to consumer, because small wineries, the channels of distribution aren't really going to be profitable for a long term, and all it does is make you bigger. I mean, to be quite frank, if you're going to be a small winery, you'll be a small winery, or you'll be a really big winery. And if we're going to stay small and we're going to continue to be a family-run operation, these are the kinds of things that are necessary in order to really allow us to stay at our size, to stay me being the property owner, my mom being the property owner. You know, once you start going beyond that, it goes beyond our means, and it goes on our ability to really service what it takes to run a small winery. And eventually we sell out to people from out of the area that have a lot of money. And so that's what we're trying not to do. You know, we're trying to sustain our property, and we're trying to sustain our living. It's the only living my mom and I have. We are invested as property owners. We're invested as winery owners. We don't have second careers. We don't have other businesses. This is our one and only. So we're trying to do the very best with what we have. And we're trying to do the best with the county, too. We want to make sure that we do everything with you guys that you hope that we are. Hopefully we can eventually be a model for you guys. It's something that, you know, who's doing it the right way. And so hopefully that's something that you guys can appreciate. And that's our intent. And obviously with using Jamie and everybody else, we're trying to move forward at the best way. And any questions about the ABC stuff? I'm pretty well versed on that stuff, obviously, because I've gone through a lot of it. But as you guys will know, the ABC and the TTB and all the different agencies, county included, they've all got different takes on this. So that is one of the hardest things of working around is, you know, what different government agency. Unfortunately, the ABC is kind of in the middle. The TTB, in the reality, is a big hitter on this because they obviously offer me my federal permit, and then obviously with the county and land use, you know, you guys really can tell me what I can do on the property. So ABC kind of gets stuck in the middle of trying to work within their guidelines as well. And the distilling side has been a new thing for the ABC, so they're still figuring out their processes. Every year, they're updating a lot of their new distillery ordinances. Unlike wineries, they're fairly consistent at this point in the game. Distillery ordinances are changing fairly constantly. So, but Robert here locally does a great job of working with us directly, and he's very accessible. And we've worked with him completely on everything that we've done on our property. So, if you guys have any other questions, I'm
Jay, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Just out of curiosity, what is a taste of spirits? How much is that?
You're limited to an ounce and a half.
Ounce and a half.
Yeah. So that's that. And in reality, that's what makes distilling the spirits end of it a lot more regulated than the wine side of it, because. That's always been something from the state level that they've been concerned about. So you're limited to just an ounce and a half of a pour of up to, whether it be six tastes of something, whether it be it's put together in a cocktail form, whatever it may be, an ounce and a half is your limitation. So
right.
And then we can, and that entails us of being able to sell, you know, three bottles per person per day. So you're limited in your sales scope too. Distilleries can't ship product. So there's a lot more regulation on the distilling side, and probably for good reason. I think that's been the
issue. Safety could be an issue.
Yeah.
Let's see. This area that we've been talking about adding, possibly, is that 300 square feet? Is that really?
Yeah, I mean, I can get a measure
realistic
for you. I mean, it's a little bit bigger than that, I would imagine. I would give it up to maybe closer to 500. I'd have to see. You know, we've created all these areas on the winery property to be accessible. We've been always very in the know of the fact that there's a lot of ADA compliance and everything that goes with that. So, you know, the whole property is compliant in that respect. So none of this would be constructionary. It would be more of like if whether or not you guys feel like it would be deemed appropriate for what we're doing. As you guys may see in taste rooms, you got a lot of people that cruise around. All these things have been lined out with the ABC. It's just a matter of what you guys feel is appropriate for our restaurant consideration.
Well, if we did adopt that area, I think there's some sentiment for doing that. Do we have enough in the application today to do that, or would you have to run it by? We're not through again.
We can go as is, and they can just provide an updated site plan.
As is in the 866 square feet, mm-hmm. And then come back with a...
They don't need to come back. We can make that condition.
Okay.
Karen Nall with county staff. I had a question about parking. So you're adding 500 square feet potentially. How's the parking? We might have to modify parking if we were tight on parking.
It already kind of in the plan for the property. In reality, we've come to the approach that we would probably want to remove some vineyard in order to attain that. I don't think it's necessary at this point, but it's something that we're definitely looking for. Of kind of going, well, if it becomes an issue, it's available. I think right now we have quite a bit of parking that are up in front and all the way around the winery as well.
So just making a point that our Ag Commissioner's office does not absolutely love when you take out vineyards for parking for visitor serving. So we prefer the vineyard.
I don't necessarily have to. I've got a bottom 4 acres that we could attain parking down there as well. It's just a matter of proximity, and I'm open to whatever you guys would like us to do.
So just for your commission, you know, we're essentially going from an 866 square restaurant to a 13, you know, almost doubling the size, so however your commission wants to go, but it would be nice, you know, to look at parking. What we could look at the table here to see where we are. It looks
we have short.
You're already short.
25
too.
Spaces and 23 is provided.
What is to keep someone from using that area anyway? Do you have a guard on duty to keep him out of there?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I mean, we've got enough barriers that, you know, I mean, between, you know, signage and things like that, you could. I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, that would be, you know, that would be tricky regardless. And I think you have some respect to that, you know, people want to have picnics and bring some of their own stuff in the areas too. So there's the idea of picnic grounds and whatnot too, where, you know, they're not looking to obviously use my restaurant area. They're really, you know, more just to use their own personal space to do wine tasting and bring some of their own food on site too. So we have that consideration as well, which in reality probably would work best, because if we have a designated restaurant space, I certainly don't want to have people who are coming on site with picnic to use that area that we'll be using for the restaurant space. So it's certainly designated that way as well, if that's something that's part of an opportunity.
Well, a lot of places do have signage that say, you know, no alcoholic beverages beyond this point, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
We're here today to kind of legalize some of the operations. So from staff's standpoint, we'd like to kind of clean house here. And if it's an extra patio that's used with food that you wander down, we wish that was in the application, because we could have evaluated that then.
Would we want to continue this item to add the... I mean,
there may be a solution here.
Maybe a solution. Okay.
Well, why don't we finish with the public hearing and then we can have a commission discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to open it for public comment. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to comment on this item? I don't have any speaker slips. If you want to speak, you need to fill a speaker slip out. Seeing none, I'm going to close it to public comment and bring it back to the board for comments.
Okay. I think, you know, this is a reasonable use, and I appreciate that the staff and the owners are trying to bring into compliance an existing situation. And I think the uses are reasonable. I think realistically, the so-called lower patio, which has some tables and chairs and which people can access, is going to be used for a variety of things. And so I wonder if we could categorize that as a picnic area / overflow restaurant space. And then in terms of parking, we're already short a couple spaces, but we can make findings in 22-18... something. 30.030. It says modification of parking standards. Mm-hmm. The standards may be modified. That's authorized through a minor use permit. We could just wrap that into our CUP. And the criteria are, and let's see if the other commissioners are comfortable with this, that the characteristics of the use, the site, and its immediate vicinity do not necessitate the number of parking spaces, types of design or improvements that reduce parking, or an alternative parking design. This is in the ordinance. It's not in your staff report.
Okay.
needs generated by the use or additional parking is not necessary because of the specific features of the site, and that no traffic safety problems will result. This is in the ordinance, not in the staff report.
I just wanted to discuss this further, but that sounds like the answer rather than opening a can of worms.
I'm trying to be reasonable and try not to have this, you know, come back three times while we work on a site plan. It's going to be in their best interest to come up with parking. Certainly don't want to encourage loss of vineyard space or ag land for parking, but it seemed like there was additional parking space that could be accommodated on the site. So if there's a way that we could condition it to allow the 866-foot restaurant, include the lower patio, which I think is about 400-500 square feet, as a picnic area and overflow food service, and that we make the findings that the parking is acceptable based on those findings, and that any additional parking that is provided not include the removal of vineyards or prime ag land. I don't know if the staff has a reaction to that. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, I will see if Holly wants to chime in too, but that does sound acceptable. I'd also just like to add a condition that they submit a revised site plan so it clearly shows this lower patio identified, so in the future we know what exactly we approved here. So maybe condition number two, prior to issuance of a construction permit or establishment of the use, submit a revised site plan clearly showing the lower patio / picnic overflow. Commissioner Moultrie, what was that term you used?
Overflow food service.
Picnic.
Overflow
food service
food
area,
service / tasting area, because people can take their tasting down there too. If you want to see where this is, it's part of the site. Okay. And it does strike me as it's bigger than 300 feet. It's probably more like about 5. So. And it's already being used that way, so we might as well just, if this is a cleanup, let's clean it up.
Are you okay with that?
Would we like to modify the findings?
To be in conformance with 2218, I think it's 030 or 020.
2218-030-030H,
modification of parking standards.
Yes.
And the findings would be the proposed modification of parking standards is acceptable here are the findings, that the characteristics of this use, the site, and its immediate vicinities do not necessitate the number of parking spaces otherwise required by the zoning ordinance, and that the reduced parking or alternatives to the parking design will be adequate for this site, and no traffic problems will result. So those are findings H2, B, and C, or A, B, and C.
Okay.
And I have one other question for the applicant. Yes, you.
Yes.
I read somewhere in here said that you would contact Caltrans to see if they needed to be a left turn lane installed. Did you do that?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. And they
Not at this point. Also, and two, though, so just so you know, there's a larger degree of conversation between me, myself, my neighbor, and all of our surrounding neighbors that we're already in process of actually trying to work with Caltrans to collectively put together a turn pocket or a turn unit. And so it really makes a lot of sense for all of us to try to contribute to that with the Anderson Road pocket as well, though I have touched on both sides. So we're actually in process of doing that. We've already had meetings with Caltrans to try to see if we can, you know, kind of get together with the collective group and to put that in, because it in reality affects and actually helps all of us. It's just hard for one of us as a singular applicant to take that on. But mm-hmm. if we can take it as like a group of nine applicants, then it actually is something that we're hoping we can get done.
It would really be a great thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's something that we all, from a safety perspective, but even, I mean, just from a perspective of the fact that it would, okay. you know, it would help our businesses, and we would do better business because of that. So, we're our little area. We're very forward thinking. We understand our limitations, but we also understand what our opportunities and possibilities are too. So, I think you'll be seeing probably us pretty soon.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any other questions?
I just want to make sure County Council is okay with our approach on this.
Yes, Ben Dorr, the County Council. And if we could just throw maybe the modifications on up on the screen so we could all take a look. And
I don't have them typed up.
Okay,
we'll have
so
to read through them.
Maybe we need to take a break, give planning staff a chance to type them up, and then we can come back.
Okay, we'll take a 10 or 15 minutes. What do you think?
10 yes, 05. 15 minutes.
10:05.
15 minutes. Okay, we'll be back at 10:05. Okay, I will call this meeting of the Planning Commission back to order. And would you like to put the information on the screen, please?
Sure. So we have a modification to finding G. The new, would you like me to read it in full, or are you good with looking at it? After dining, we've inserted "and the existing lower patio of approximately 500 square feet for overflow tasting and picnic and food service," and we deleted the word "and" after the colon after kitchen, semicolon.
Is it legal counsel? Is that okay with you?
That language is okay with me. Yeah.
Okay.
And that reflects the commission's what the commission said.
We added a new modification, J, modification parking standards required by the Land Use Ordinance Section 221830 is justified because the characteristics of the use or its immediate vicinity do not necessitate additional parking spaces due to the mix of uses on site and shared parking, which will be adequate to satisfy the on-site parking needs, and no traffic problems will result from the proposed modification of parking standards.
And is that okay with staff?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know they do, but I wanted that on their record.
All right, to the conditions here, we've modified condition number one. After food service facility, we've added "in the existing lower patio of approximately 500 square feet overflow tasting, comma, picnic and food service area." As mentioned in the staff report, we modified condition 1C to allow the hours to be to 7 p.m. We've added a new condition, number two, the applicant shall submit a revised site plan that clearly shows the existing lower patio to be used for overflow, tasting, picnic, and food service. Is that it? And renumbering has occurred.
Is there any comments from staff? Or from, from the commission? Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion.
Okay. Before the motion, I just want to mention to be clear for the record that during the break, I did speak with the staff and the applicant, so that was probably constitutes an ex parte communication. And really, we were just working on the language of that you've just seen.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I would make a motion, but before I do, I just want to have two comments. One is just a reminder to us and to presenters that it's nice to learn about the history of the family and all that stuff, but we make decisions not based on the people, but on the land use and the impacts of the land use. And so no matter who comes here as an applicant, we try to treat them exactly the same. And then the other thing, I would just counsel the applicant that in the future, if this is successful and if other future modifications are proposed, that ask for the permit before you do it. Okay? So we would avoid these kinds of hassles. So with those somewhat gratuitous comments, I will make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit based on the findings in the staff report and as modified, and subject to the conditions in the staff report and as modified.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Ramona, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. And there is no other business, so do we have a motion to accept the correspondence?
I'll move to take all testimony and documents into the record.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn to our next regular meeting.
Do you have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to make one comment. Having been on a planning commission in Monterey County for about 10 years, this is a very different environment and refreshing that we can work together and come up with something that really fits the applicant's need. That doesn't happen in all planning conditions. Usually it's the other way around. Very adversarial, so I'm impressed.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.